This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, January 31st, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, live in studio here in the D.C. area. And as you can tell, Dr. Rozelle is not in studio, but we are. And I say we because we have a lot of guests here. But as always, every week, we are here to answer your questions, talk about holistic care and what you can do naturally if you tried and applied and it didn't work. And we have a great topic today, and I'm going to be joined by more than one guest. We have our permission to come on with Dr. Rozelle again, and we're back. This is Dr. Stephanie Pina. I'm a licensed acupuncturist here in Virginia, and I want to introduce the Acupuncture Society of Virginia board members. And today we're going to be talking about acupuncture, how it can help you, what the benefits are, answer some questions, and go over some, maybe even some of the myths and questionable things that we all need to know about acupuncture and what we can use in everyday. I'm going to send around. Let's all to know who's on the acupuncture board.
Hi, I'm Joni Stewart. I'm the treasurer of the board.
Hi, I'm Aubrey Fisher, and I am the vice president and recording secretary of the board.
Hi, I'm Jody Knauer, and I'm a general member of the board.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Reynolds, and I'm a member at large on the board.
I'm Rebecca Berkson. I'm the legislative liaison, and I'm also the representative to the American Association of Acupuncturists.
Welcome, ladies, to the Dr. Tom Rozelle Live Show. And as I said, we're going to talk about acupuncture and how it's related to your health. So feel free, if you have a question, you can always give us a call at 1-888-630-9625. That is 1-888-630-9625. And we're going to talk some basics first, get things warmed up. And I want to figure out, when we talk about acupuncture here, there's a lot of unknown. And when you read on the internet, you kind of hear a lot of different explanations. Let's talk about what acupuncture is and why is it important in the general healthcare setting today. And that's why and basically when we talk about acupuncture, what we want to talk about is the use of Chinese medicine as a system, so that we have not only just the use of the acupuncture needle, but nutrition, exercise, health and healing, herbal medicine, and everything that goes along with it. And it's a whole system in itself versus just being a specialized system like going to someone like your endocrinologist to work on diabetes and blood sugar. Aubrey?
Well, what I love most about acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine is the holistic approach. When I treat a patient, I don't just treat the symptoms. I treat the underlying cause. We attack the disease or the problem or complication from the bottom up.
Now, what's interesting is you bring that up, and I know each one of us has kind of our own specialties and what we see as far as the patients that come into our practice. So let's just go around and kind of tell the people, what are the kind of patients that are coming in for acupuncture? What kind of things are they seeing on an everyday basis?
Patients usually come to me primarily with pain issues, pain management issues, and then gradually they realize that there are other things that acupuncture can treat. They're actually quite surprised to find out that acupuncture is helpful with fertility issues, helpful with allergies, helpful with digestive issues, and then not to mention the emotional issues that acupuncture can help with, stress relief, anxiety, depression. It is an entire complete medicine. So, yeah, but so I'll let somebody else speak.
I I also primarily see pain in my practice. However, I tend to specialize in headaches, migraines, tension headaches, cluster headaches. Another subject close to my heart is dermatology. So I treat a lot of skin complications with acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine.
I also see quite a bit of pain patients as well. I specialize in fertility, especially preconception care, and that's where acupuncture has such a wonderful benefit when patients come in and we start talking to them about different lifestyle changes and different ways that you can approach food. Food is medicine in Chinese acupuncture, and different herbal opportunities, also moxibustion. And you know, one of the main things that contribute to perhaps infertility in a lot of patients here in this area is stress. You know, our increased cortisol levels, and what's happening, you know, it's disrupting the pituitary gland and it's changing the levels of the sex hormones in the body. So when we can, you know, help support someone not only for fertility but also all throughout their pregnancy to delivery, it's a wonderful thing to see. I do a lot of digestive issues. I see that quite a bit. And what's always fascinating is when someone comes in for perhaps pain, and then they start to realize that you can treat so much more than pain.
Exactly. I treat a lot of the same issues. Usually somebody will come in with something pretty specific to me. I treat plantar fasciitis, carpal tunnel syndrome, and arthritis, fatigue, and when you look at acupuncture, the whole idea of what you're doing is working to bring in balance and homeostasis for an individual, and it makes a huge difference. My favorite kind of patient is one that I've been seeing for a while and will just come in to say, hey, I just need a tune-up and a little balancing. But I treat a lot of acute stress issues and pain, especially back pain.
So I work with a lot of patients who especially have a lot of chronic pain, a lot of chronic illnesses. These are folks that have been to many, many different types of physicians and specialty practices, and sometimes have seen upwards of 30 physicians, and are bouncing around the country and really just can't find the care that they want. They may be on a lot of different medications that they can't come off of. I work in an integrative setting, so I can work with people's physicians. And they may have diagnoses, you know, like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, even Lyme disease, to try to get the care that people want to get people back on their feet.
One of the things I think is really important in what you heard here is, even from a number of different physicians, is that, you know, people are coming in for one thing and then they're treated for something else. They're not recognizing how the body structurally, or that pain syndrome, is related to their emotional issues, how that structural issue is related to their digestive tract, how other systems are incorporated. And one of the great benefits of Chinese medicine in general, whether you're doing, like I said, herbs or acupuncture, chai chi, Qigong, you name it, is that it's this idea of balance, but it's treating the whole system and treating the person's pattern. So how are they presenting to you at that moment? And how does that change compared to yesterday? Where do we want it to go in the future? So you can take into consideration what they're doing with their Western medicines, with other herbs, with other integrative physicians as well, too. Let's talk a little bit about, I'd say, the first experience, because a lot of people, they come in, right? And everyone's kind of smiling on this one because they know, they go, one, does it hurt? What am I going to experience and stuff? Anyone get a good story about how their first time was with acupuncture for them as an acupuncturist? Never mind as a patient. When you first, because I know what happens for a lot of us is we actually go into acupuncture school, which is a 4-year program, master's level program, and the first person you needle is actually yourself, and then you start needling your other classmates before you start seeing people. So we've gone through the same thing that everybody else is kind of thinking of when they come in, and I always tell my patients, when I get my little kids in here, it feels like a little bug bite, and if they're not aware of it, it goes away, and if they can't see it, it's fine. But anyone have any interesting stories about their first time when they get acupuncture so everyone can understand what it's like?
Hi, yes. I have a background in Western sciences, so I was a lot more familiar with that than Eastern medicine before I started my training. And, you know, going in initially several years ago for just a little nagging wrist pain, I'm also a yoga teacher, and being on my hands a lot, I was experiencing some pain that was traveling up my forearm. And when the acupuncturist, who's also in this room, fantastic lady, treated me, you know, I was surprised by some of the points that she was putting into my ears. And I didn't understand at that time why those points would be related to my wrist. Also, she was putting points in on my legs and, you know, on near my shoulders and, you know, eventually around the wrist as well. But acupuncture works distally. Some of our major points are from our elbows to our fingertips and from our knees to our toes. There's a whole medicine, auricular acupuncture as well in the ear, where the ear represents an inverted fetus. There's over 300 points in the ear alone. And from that first experience, I was a little dubious initially. I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know, you know, pain level, if it would hurt. The needles are about the size, you know, the thickness of a strand of hair or a cat's whisker. You feel a little bit of sensation sometimes when the needles go in. You feel a little bit of achiness, a little bit of dullness. But a skilled practitioner who's, you know, licensed and board certified knows how to address if you start to feel anything a little bit more than that.
Well, the amazing thing, too, nowadays is there's so many different ways, thanks to research, and we're going to get more into research later on, where we can explain how acupuncture is physically working in the body, whether it's moving blood flow and improving circulations to trauma and tissues that need to be decreased inflammation in that area, whether it's boosting the immune system to help fight off the cold and flu symptoms, also work on the digestive tract so we can absorb everything in the foods that we're having the proper way. The amazing thing is those points stimulate the body. Anytime you put a point in, it's stimulating the body. It's not just very specific points. So as Jody brings up, ear acupuncture is used a lot in, you know, alcohol detox treatments. And there are specialists who just do that in different states. I think there's four or five states that use it as part of a DUI program because they realize that it can relax the body as well, too, increase those natural opioids of the body. So when everybody walks out, they have that nice, relaxed, calm feeling like they never want to leave. I think everybody can agree with that. Everyone's usually pretty happy when they're in there. But when we talk about acupuncture, what are one of the things, why do we see more and more discussion about acupuncture now? Why are we seeing more people ask, is it available? Is it able to basically help me with my needs where conventional medicine hasn't been able to touch this?
Well, I think one of the reasons it's more accessible today is because more and more insurance companies are covering acupuncture. So people who have insurance, you likely have insurance coverage for acupuncture. So people are exploring it more because now they don't have to pay out of pocket for it.
And also because they're hearing from friends that it works, and a lot of it is word of mouth. So many people that come to me now, if they haven't had it themselves, they know somebody who's had it, they've heard success stories, they're tired of conventional medicine, they've tried medications, they are trying to avoid surgery, they're trying to avoid more drastic procedures because it's a very benign and natural way.
And I think like you guys talked about too, when they're hearing about it, they don't necessarily go, I have this issue. I have to go in and get treated. I have pain. I need to go in right now. We're seeing more wellness care and people being more proactive in their own health care. They're asking those questions. Why are things that supposedly work for me not working for me? Why am I getting these side effects from these medications that I don't want to deal with? So I think you're seeing things like acupuncture make big breakthroughs in fields like fertility, like oncology and cancer care to help out with side effects of chemotherapy, neuropathy in the hands. You're seeing digestive support on there too, getting more blood flow to the digestive tract and to help out with bowel so that when we're detoxing, when we're moving things through the body, they can move properly. That balance, that idea of balance can't be overstood. And we even know that from Western medicine is homeostasis, keeping things flowing and going at the same time. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes, but basically what we're going to do is continue this topic on acupuncture. And if you have any questions, you can feel free to give us a call here in live in studio. And you're talking with Dr. Stephanie Pina and the Acupuncture Society of Virginia. We'll be right back. And we're back. And basically, you're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I am Dr. Stephanie Pina, and we're here in studio with the Acupuncture Society of Virginia. some lovely ladies who definitely are on their game of what's going on with the ancient Chinese world and how we brought it to the 21st century and continuing to help the people in this area and educate others just like we always do on the Dr. Tom or Live show. Let's talk some acupuncture logistics because we get a lot of patients that come in and they've heard of all these great things that it can do. They've heard of how it can treat pain, how it can work with the body, how it can help with fertility. But there's questions that every single, I'd say, patient or potential patient ask all the time. And one of the things I want to take advantage of today is really to help get some of those questions answered. So, Joni, you had mentioned one of the questions that you get asked a lot by patients as well.
Yeah, usually, always people say, how many visits is this going to take? How long will I have to keep coming? And there's no one answer to that question. Everybody's different. But generally, if it's an acute condition, for instance, for pain, if it's something that's a recent pain issue, then it's not going to take as long to treat. If it's a more chronic issue, a more systemic issue, it will require more treatments. But what I do recommend in the beginning is that you have your treatments close together, your first few treatments closer together to two times a week, every four or five days, because if you wait too long between treatments, you can backslide, because it is a cumulative process. And each treatment, you get more in balance than the time before, and it is cumulative.
And what I think is interesting is, it just like how there's a number of practitioners right here answering these questions, everybody's going to be a little different. So we have to base it on how that patient's doing, just like their sensitivity to the needles. There are techniques that are unrelated to the needles themselves, like things like cupping, where we're basically helping to move blood flow, different types of techniques that we can use for children, like Tui Na, which is almost like a nice little rub down massage. But there are other techniques, including digestion, including herbal therapy, including diet, that we incorporate a lot in non-digestive issues. Jody, do you want to talk about that real quick?
Sure. A couple of different techniques that I do. There's many different styles and approaches of acupuncture, and patients who, you know, have come from out of state or maybe from other practitioners, they're always curious about, you know, the style that perhaps I'm doing and others are doing. And, you know, we're all board certified in traditional Chinese medicine. However, many of us also treat patients with other approaches within the facets of acupuncture. So whether it's a Japanese approach, one approach that I do, and with Japanese approach, we do a lot of moxibustion, which is a heat therapy. Moxibustion is an herb. It's a mugwort herb. And we're just now beginning to study and learn what exactly it does from a physiological standpoint. We know in Chinese medicine, it's been around for a while, and it can help reduce inflammation. It can help with pain management. I've used it with some of my fertility patients as well. It can aid with digestion. It's one of the, you know, different modalities that we do. Gua cell is another one that I do. This is a pressing or a stroking technique that is used on the skin, and initially it raises this petechia or this really bright color bruising that lasts for, you know, a couple of days and then it fades out. But this gua sha technique can be incredibly beneficial for folks who have pain issues, also for relieving coughs, helping to improve the immune system, helping with colds and flus as well.
One of the things I always think is interesting, and I present when I do our in-house lectures, is that we talked about cupping and bringing that bruising to the surface. And inevitably, everybody's seen this picture of the actress Gwyneth Paltrow, and she was getting cupping down on her back. And I guess she decided to do a red carpet event right after she got treated. So she had these perfectly circle, gigantic bruises on her back, which actually helped her get over her cold and her flu, and decided to wear a backless dress that day. And I said, well, I guess that's good advertisement. Or a lot of the times, especially during the Beijing Olympics, you had swimmers and divers who were not only using things like kinesio tape to help support muscles, but they were also getting cups. And so you'd see these same bruises in athletes when they were getting ready to get ready for practice, to compete, to heal. So it helps out in a lot of different ways. So this idea of moving things in the body to get the function back going is a pretty strong idea. I know we are also talking about, when we talk about stress and emotions and trauma, and I know, Joni, when you were on last time, we had talked a little bit and got into a little bit about using this with military and treating PTSD.
Yes, actually, Jody and I both worked with a group called There and Back Again, which was treating veterans and their families at Fort Belvoir. That program is temporarily on hold, but there is an opportunity for veterans to get acupuncture from licensed board-certified acupuncturists who are not in the TRICARE program. It's called Veterans Choice, and it's available through the Health Net, which you can find on the web, HNFS, that's Health Net Federal System, I think it stands for, HNFS.com, and it allows veterans to see providers outside of their normal network. There are a number of criteria. One of them is if you can't see a doctor at a VA hospital within 30 days of being recommended by a physician to see an acupuncturist, that's one criteria. If you can't see a physician or a provider within 30 days of wanting to be seen by yourself, we don't need a doctor's recommendation. If you live more than 40 miles from a VA medical facility, there are a number of criteria and if you want to call to see if you're eligible for this the Veterans Choice Program, the number to call is 866-606-8198. That's 866-606-8198.
So we see that acupuncture, even though it's a 3,000 to 5,000-year-old technique, can treat lots of modern-day issues. The education is keeping right up with that, making sure that everybody is educated, has continuing education as well. And the training just keeps going on and on, so you see the benefits of acupuncture spreading, getting wider, and that's what's also making it more available. You're also seeing more information, obviously, on the web, social media, and one of the things that we're going to talk about in the second half is a recent research study that came out questioning whether acupuncture was good for hot flashes for women. But not all is said in those numbers, and basically we're going to kind of dive into that a little bit differently, and of course how acupuncture is also used for pain management as well too. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio here in the D.C. area. And I am joined today, I'm Dr. Stephanie Pina, sitting in for Dr. Rozelle while he's in Scottsdale, Arizona, getting ready to teach a conference again. I think he decided to leave right after the snowstorm. I can't blame him. So, but it gave us a chance to bring the Acupuncture Society of Virginia back in here to answer your questions and go over some of the things that acupuncture can help, the benefits, the pros, the cons, you name it. One of the great things is, you know, a number of years ago, the World Health Organization recognized acupuncture for a treatment of over 28 different diseases based strictly off of research. So when people say there's no research on it, that's not necessarily true, because the World Health Organization has already started to put out, and that list has gotten longer. I believe that was the early 2000s when they put out that list, and they've updated it since. And what you're also seeing is clinical experience from acupuncture, seeing when their patients are getting better and reporting substances as well, to the point where you're seeing larger hospitals include acupuncture, include things like massage therapy and stuff in there, but especially acupuncture, such as things like Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Mayo Clinic, Sloan Kettering, all have acupuncturists on their staff, so they're there to treat cancer patients especially. VA hospitals, as Joni mentioned, are having acupuncturists come in to treat their wounded warriors and their soldiers as well, too. So you're seeing more and more spread, and it's definitely out there. So one of the ways we always tell people to make sure you're getting a licensed acupuncturist is also you can look up the national organization, and you can go to www.nccaom.org, and you can actually search for a licensed acupuncturist under the Find the Practitioner link, and then you can actually put your zip code in and find an acupuncturist or someone who's trained in acupuncture and herbal medicine. So you can actually see who is in your state, since we have out-of-state listeners as well, too, listening to this. So that is a great reference and resource. I often refer patients out who are leaving out-of-state, who are in for different things. I will use that reference and kind of try to find who might make the best match for them, and make sure that you're getting a qualified licensed acupuncturist in states, because not all states are licensed. And one of the amazing things is we were talking earlier in our board meeting about the state of Kansas, and they are currently getting ready to have their bill passed to allow acupuncture in their state. In fact, they had to make a documentary about it. So On the Road with Acupuncture is probably going to be out soon. So hopefully Kansas will be able to get that passed. One of the other things that's interesting, though, that's reached us in the news is we often hear things about research studies. And this is where we're going to get into some nitty-gritty stuff, not too complicated. But acupuncture is a very difficult thing to do in research. And when you heard the ladies talk earlier about all the different things they treat, One of the reasons can be is because we're treating the individual, and a research study is not usually set up like that. It's a standardized set of points that are supposed to work for something. So it's either you use these points or you don't do anything, and which one's better? Just last week, actually, I forgot the journal name, but there's a journal that came out that had a U.S.-based study where they were treating women with hot flashes. I believe there's over 200 participants in this. And the headlines that came out is acupuncture does not work for hot flashes. And unfortunately, when you read a little deeper and you actually looked at the research, it wasn't necessarily true, but that's what everyone heard. What happened in the study is they divided these groups of women into three different bunches. So one group got the acupuncture treatment. And what they did for 8 weeks, they got two treatment sessions a day. So they basically got 18 sessions of acupuncture, or 16 sessions of during the whole trial. And then, so over those 8 weeks, another group got what they call sham acupuncture. And unfortunately, this is a debatable thing where you're trying to find something that isn't active, but it's still active because they were still putting needles in people. And unfortunately, those points were very close by to where the real points were. So there's nothing that says that those points weren't just as active. And then the third group basically didn't get anything. And so what happens is they notice that the group that got the acupuncture and the group that got the sham acupuncture, so both the groups that got treatment, noticed a decrease in their hot flash symptoms by 40%. Now, that's what they're saying is not relevant compared to the group that didn't do anything. These were menopausal women who weren't induced in menopause by a hysterectomy, by cancer treatment. They just simply had hot flashes more than four times a week, and they were between the ages of 42 and 55. And so this 40% apparently wasn't enough. And what it was is they were saying that the sham treatment didn't work. There wasn't enough of a difference between the acupuncture treatment and the sham treatment. But as you can tell here, we don't necessarily always put the same needles in every single one. So the problem is when you have research studies, they're not adequately built for the way acupuncture is practiced in an everyday setting. And that's where research is a hard thing. The whole sham situation is a whole long thing that we could go into for sure. Especially you see that in fertility treatments too, when you add in the medications and everything. One of the other interesting things that comes up for the treatment of pain of acupuncture is we have a thing called the Joint Commission. And they were basically putting out a report fairly recently about how to treat pain management more properly, considering that so many people were having trouble with opioid drug medications and addiction problems with that. And there were some really interesting news and recommendations that they had put out recently. Rebecca, can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so for those of you who aren't familiar, the Joint Commission is responsible for accreditation of healthcare certification for hospitals across the country. And last year, they released their clarification of the pain management standard. So they did an exhaustive review that included both pharmacological and non-pharmacological approaches and included the benefits and risks to patients to determine the most appropriate interventions. And of course, this also includes the risk of dependency and addiction and abuse of opioids when considering these medications and treatments. What they added to this list is acupuncture as a physical modality, so a non-pharmacological strategy. There's an association, the Acupuncture Now Foundation is a group. It's an international organization, and they are working with the American Society of Acupuncturists in a joint acupuncture opioid task force. And they're looking to compile research and relevant information on this topic to work with policymakers regarding acupuncture's potential in reducing or eliminating the need for opioids, as well as the ability to treat opioid addiction. I think certainly in my practice, and I'm sure you all have experienced this, that when people do come to get acupuncture for pain management, they notice that they have a reduced need for their medications, and they have to work with their prescribing physicians in order to reduce their medications. But this is a big deal, and it's something that's really greatly needed in this country.
Yeah, this new standard and clarification of the standards that was just recently published is fantastic news. In the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, they showed that an estimated 22.6 million or 8.9% of Americans age 12 or older were current or past month illicit drug users. And opioid addiction, the most common one, of course, is heroin. And I actually know personally someone who died of an overdose last Christmas from heroin. And in addition, I recently had a patient who went in for a surgery just this past week and was prescribed over 50 prescription pain pills, specifically hydrocodone, and upon discharge, even when she told the attending physicians that she wasn't in pain and she would be fine. So it's really exciting to see some standards that are shifting and eliminating. Eliminating the need for excessive prescriptions regarding hydrocodone and also to help support the addiction around heroin.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, whether you're listening to the debates or everything else that's going up, this is making national political news on how to deal with these types of issues. And so this is where, acupuncture is really starting to come forward because patients are willing to come in and get this treatment and they're seeing results. They're not having to go into methadone clinics to get on one drug to basically get off another drug. And then now you have to deal with another drug. So, the patients that are basically need the most help, they have options, they have resources, and that's what acupuncture is around there for, and also to treat the side effects of these medications. We know that these opioids types of drugs slow down that digestive tract. So now you're not detoxing and you have more medication going in. So it's a bad, bad situation all the way around. We're live here in studio. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. The number again is 1-888-630-9625. That number is 1-888-630-9625. Now, because acupuncture is growing in leaps and bounds and practitioners are out there in multiple states, internationally it's also growing as well too, we want to talk a little bit about the education factor and the fact that, licensed practitioners have to go through a lot in order to treat this. They have to be familiar with Western medicine diseases and drugs. They have to be knowing what their patients are coming in for medications. I want to talk a little bit about what that education actually is about.
This is Becky Reynolds, and I'm actually a nurse practitioner as well as an acupuncturist. And the education to become an acupuncturist is quite intense, and I was surprised at the level of education that's required. Essentially, you have to go to school for 3 years and get thousands of hours of clinical time and classroom time. And all the nationally certified folks have completed a master's level program. And in the national certification, it's a fairly complicated test that's divided into three parts. And I found that test to be more difficult than the nurse practitioner national certification.
Yeah, so the good thing is that you're having practitioners not just focused in their particular Chinese medicine or Eastern medicine philosophy, but they have to be able to combine the two together. And that really benefits patients because patients are coming in and they don't even know what the drugs and medications are on. They don't know about even some of the over-the-counter pharmacy and supplements and stuff, and they just hear, well, this is the newest supplement of the day. Let me take it. Well, how do you know if it's going to be good for you? And those are the type of people that you have to be able to be working with, to find very easily, and also to have that conversation with, because we learn as practitioners more about you when you're having that one-on-one conversation, just like we need to have those same conversations opened up to other doctors and medical professionals as well.
I don't know if any of you out there are watching. Frontline had a program on vitamin supplements and how the quality of vitamin supplements is all over the map. But we as practitioners look at those types of medications, and we're able to give folks advice on why you should or should not be using some of these various supplements.
And the same thing goes also with herbal medicine as well, too, because when you look at Chinese medicine, a lot of times herbs can be put in there, but you have to work with a practitioner who knows what they're doing. The amazing thing, I think, with Chinese herbs is it's not about giving one particular herb at a time most often. They do it in formulas, and the formulas are very balanced so that one herb might work, say, to treat your immune system, and one herb might work to balance the lungs and to get the phlegm out, but the other herbs that are in there might be there to actually break down those herbs so you can digest them better. Now, the quality control, you know, is one of the main issues that's come up with Chinese herbal supplements, and a lot of the companies that are here in the U.S., they have to be held to good manufacturer GMP standards, that's what I was trying to find out, so that they have to be able to prove what's actually in their herbs. And if they're not qualified for that, then you might have an issue of what's actually in there in the presence of anything else, heavy metals, different toxins. Aubrey, you've had experience with some herbal medicine as well, too. Tell me a little bit about this.
That's right. So not only do the herbal companies in the United States, do they have they hold up to higher standards here in the U.S., but they're run by practitioners, herbalists and acupuncturists themselves who are dedicated to the practice of herbalism. So not only are they holding themselves to these high standards because they have to, you know, and they're regulated by the FDA, but also because they love it and they want to protect, you know, themselves as herbalists. So most of the companies who operate here in the U.S. who provide both what we call raw herbs, where if a practitioner gave you raw herbs, you'd basically go home with a bag of, you know, twigs and seeds and fruits, or granules, where those herbs are actually concentrated and powdered, so it's easier to consume more as a tea. They test for heavy metals, they test for pesticides, and many of the companies here in the U.S. are actually going over to China, where these herbs are grown, partnering with the farmers themselves. So they're actually, you know, they're on site, looking at the herbs, the way they're grown and how they're grown. There's also a movement in the U.S. to start growing herbs locally so that our carbon footprint, having to have these herbs shipped to the U.S., you know, it's not, we don't want to, you know, we want to,
be nice to you made in the USA, right?
Yes, exactly.
Chinese medicine made in the USA. And I think one of the interesting things about there, too, is Chinese medicine herbalism is a little bit different than Western medicine when you hear about, say, using St. John's wort for depression and black cohosh for menopause. They are looking at specific ingredients and components of that herb, and that's what's been tested over time. So Chinese medicine, like I said, uses it as a grouping together. So what you tend to see is you actually see less reactions in patients because those herbs are very fine-tuned, especially the person that's basically gone and had training on herbs, can explain it, and also can look up what they call the physiological side effects in there too, so that you know how it works on the body, where is it being eliminated, how is it going to work on the liver, the kidneys, and be digested as well too. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to answer some questions and wrap up this Acupuncture Society of Virginia Dr. Tom Rozelle live show.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to the Dr. Tom Rozelle Live Show in-house here. And we're about to answer some questions about acupuncture. I'm here, Dr. Stephanie Pina, with the Acupuncture Society of Virginia. Don, you've been on hold for a little bit. Thanks for holding for us. How can we help you?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Pina. The last time I did some acupuncture to help with a nerve in my leg, the doctor did not have a U.S. medical degree, and the insurance would not pay for it. Is that still the case, and are you one?
That depends very much on your insurance. So some insurances will only cover acupuncture by a medical physician or an MD.
Yes.
And some insurances, and a lot of them these days, are recognizing LACs or licensed acupuncturists, and they will cover the acupuncture. So,
well, I have Medicare and Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay, so Medicare is a different story. Becca?
Yes. One thing, it's a little bit tricky, but what you need to do is make sure you send your bill into Medicare they have to deny it, and then you send it to your insurance company, and then it's possible that they may pay. Certainly, some of my patients have Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they get reimbursed, but it's all over the map, and I will never say what an insurance company will or won't do.
I understand.
Unfortunately, with some of the plans, too, they'll either cover a certain number of treatments or a certain, they'll give you a certain price for it too. So a lot of the times, basically, that can be under the insurance and the policy that you have as well too. So
Dr. Pina, do you have both certifications?
With no, I'm a naturopathic physician. I have my license in acupuncture, so I hold my license in Arizona.
Okay.
So what's interesting is you're seeing more and more people have dual degree licensing, and that makes it a little bit easier. But the MDs that we talked about earlier tend to go through a little bit of a different medical program, which makes them a little different than licensed acupuncturists. But because they're already tend to be covered under their medical program, that's why they're kind of covering it as a add-on bonus.
Okay.
So right now, Medicare does not cover acupuncture services, but you might be interested to know that Representative Judy Chu in California just introduced a federal bill to have acupuncture covered by Medicare and TRICARE, so we'll be following that closely.
Also, foreign service benefits. We have a lot of, in the D.C. area, we have a lot of foreign service people and a lot of retired foreign service people. And certainly the foreign service benefits program covers about 40 acupuncture sessions a year.
One of the things we always tell our patients, no matter what type of treatment it is, whether it's acupuncture, chiropractic, massage therapy, if you think about it, it's your healthcare policy. And one of the things you need to do, and this should be everybody's homework, is really go talk to your employer and see if they'll get acupuncture coverage, because the more people that put it out, the more the insurance companies will realize that they have to have an option. And when people are asking for it over and over again, that's when the acupuncturists can step in as well, too, and try to help. We know how to code just like everybody else. We know how to put in super bills so that you can submit it to get reimbursement. But the people asking for it are going to be the main thing that helps drive stuff. Heidi from Alexandria, how can we help you?
Thank you. My sister is having brain fog, woozy head. Her neurologist is saying her spinal or cervical fluid is not flowing well to the brain area. Can you help with acupuncture?
One of the things that you see that's interesting with acupuncture involving either brain trauma, brain injuries, also improving cervical fluid and blood flow to that, is there's a lot of research that's been done with stroke patients where they've used actually scalp acupuncture on the head to improve blood flow to that area. Brain fog obviously can be from a lot of different things, so she probably needs a good medical workup first. But one of the things that definitely can help, and you see this with elderly, is we don't move as much. We're not as active. So improving blood flow not only to the head, the neck, the muscles, but the whole body can basically help improve a lot of different conditions. And then we got to look into why else that the brain's not functioning as well as we want. So I would definitely say in the Alexandria area, there's a lot of acupuncturists that are available that could give her a hand. Give her help. You can do a search for that, and I would definitely encourage her to go in. So, yeah, absolutely. Great question.
What kind of a preliminary workup are you talking?
She needs to go in, and basically they're going to sit down and ask her what's worked for her before, what kind of medication she might be on, because that can be medication-induced. They're going to ask about diet and lifestyle, if there's been any traumatic injuries, anything that's going to basically kind of help affect mental functions, circulation to that area. Dr. Rizal would certainly do some neurological testing as well, too, to make sure that the nerves are firing as well. And then look at the gut-brain connection as well, too, because that has a lot to do with how we process foods, has a lot to do with how we actually think. Basically, I want to thank our Acupuncture Society of Virginia guests. The board has been great today. Hopefully, Dr. Zell will have us back. He's actually going to be out of town again next week, so I'm going to be here with Dr. Lamp talking about diabetes. And in the meantime, do your homework. Go talk to your insurance companies about acupuncture and make sure you're getting an acupuncturist from a qualified acupuncturist. Make sure you can find those people in your area and call and ask them questions, because they'd be more than happy to basically talk with you and go from there. Thanks for listening.